Welcome to The Debate. Today we are looking at, well, the invisible floor that supports our entire digital ceiling. We spend all of our time obsessing over the software of AI, you know, the large language models, the neural nets, these brains living in data centers. But we almost never talk about the calories required to keep those brains alive.
And when we do, we just sort of assume the grid will handle it. But the premise we're examining today suggests otherwise. The argument is that we're building these smart cities on top of, frankly, dumb power grids. We have a surplus of coders, but a massive deficit of people who can actually keep the lights on when that centralized utility fails.
Exactly. Which brings us to the Sovereign Power Technician, or SPT. This is a new certification. The SKU is SPT Hybrid 2025, and it's a joint release from Duraticular Academy and Agrodot Energy. They describe it, and I think this is key, not as a class, but as a firmware update for the human workforce. The goal is to train a new type of worker to operate the AgriPower Core 2X, which is a micro-utility system that, well, it uses plasma gasification to turn waste into electricity.
Right. It's a very ambitious attempt to bridge what they call diesel and data. But the central question for us, I think, is this. Is the SPT a vital evolution creating these so-called blue-collar AI engineers, or is it just an overly complex, hardware-locked product that ends up excluding the very developing world demographics it claims it wants to empower?
I think we have to start with the why. You know, why does this certification even exist? The dean of this academy, which is actually an AI persona named Remnant, puts it very bluntly. Intelligence requires energy. You just cannot train a federated learning model on a dead grid. And if we look at the source material, specifically this case study on Node 4 in Uganda, the whole argument is that you can't have a digital revolution without energy sovereignty. So the SPT is designed to give people the competence to create that energy from local waste, tires, plastic, biomass, you name it.
Okay, I don't dispute that intelligence requires energy. My concern is with the mechanism of delivery here. The SPT is, at its core, a license to operate a single piece of hardware, the AgriPower Core 2X. This is what I call hardware drag. I mean, look, you aren't learning a universal trade like an electrician or a welder where your skills apply anywhere in the world. You're learning to pilot one specific machine. So if that machine doesn't scale, or if Agrodot Energy pivots, that certification becomes a digital artifact with no real-world value. It's like getting a PhD in repairing a specific model of printer from 2025.
I think that's a bit of a reductive view of the curriculum. I've looked at the syllabus. This thing runs for 50 hours, and it covers some pretty high-level thermodynamics, fluid dynamics, plasma physics. This is not just pushing buttons. We're talking about the alchemy of plasma, teaching operators how to safely bring a reactor to 1,500 degrees Celsius. This creates a blue-collar AI engineer who can, and I'm quoting the text here, turn the wrench and read the data stream. And as companies like John Deere and CAT move toward autonomous machinery, this exact mix of physical skill and digital literacy is what the market is missing.
But look at the barrier to entry you just described. To become this keeper of the flame, you have to master thermal dissociation at 1,500 degrees. That is a massive technical leap for a village engineer in a developing region. To put that in perspective for the listener, 1,500 degrees isn't just hot. It's the temperature where molecules literally rip apart. It's closer to the surface of the sun than it is to a campfire. Managing that requires a level of precision that is incredibly demanding.
And that demand is exactly why the training is necessary. You're managing a molecular scissor. You're not just burning trash. You're gasifying it, starving the fire of oxygen to create syngas. It's a delicate balance. If you get it wrong, you make tar. If you get it right, you make clean fuel. The certification is teaching people to be, essentially, alchemists of waste.
But economically, we have to talk about the solar singularity. The source material itself flags this as a major threat. If solar panels plus battery storage become cheaper than the very complex process of gasifying waste, then the economic incentive to learn this difficult trade, it just vanishes. Why learn to manage a plasma torch and risk a thermal runaway event if you can just plug in a solar panel?
Because the sun doesn't shine 24 hours a day. The intermittency problem is the elephant in the room of this whole post-grid reality.
batteries run dry. Real independence requires baseload power, power that runs flat out all the time. The SPT creates technicians who can generate that power on demand, regardless of the weather, by destroying a liability, waste. That is a fundamental shift in how we view energy, and yes, it requires a sophisticated operator.
It requires a sophisticated operator, sure. But let's dig into how they're creating that operator. This brings us to the curriculum and the technology itself. You're a proponent of the simulation approach, but I see some serious friction there.
The simulation technology is, I would argue, the strongest asset of the SPT. They aren't just sending you PDFs and, you know, hoping for the best. They built the AgriSim physics engine. This is a Unity-based simulator that runs on a PC. It allows students to practice cold starts, taking a reactor from ambient temperature all the way up to that 1500-degree operating capability in a completely virtual environment.
So it's a video game?
It's a flight simulator for energy. I mean, think about it. In the real world, if you mess up a pressure vessel or you mismanage your wet feedstock, let's say you toss in wet wood when the reactor needs dry plastic, you could cause a flame out or even worse, destroy a $1 million asset. The simulator allows for safe failure. They can run crisis drills like a pressure spike or an emergency purge with zero real-world consequences. Plus, it integrates their remnant AI. This uses computer vision so a technician in the field can just show the AI a picture of a worn part and the system identifies it. That is true augmentation of a human worker.
Okay, I'm not denying the utility of that tool. For someone sitting in a fiber-connected office in Arizona, but we have to remember the target audience. The village engineer in a place like East Africa, operating at Node 4. The documentation states that this course requires an 8.4 gigabyte encrypted .zip download.
Well, high-fidelity training requires high-fidelity data. You can't simulate fluid dynamics in a text file.
But that is a massive bandwidth bottleneck. If you are in a remote region where data is expensive and slow, downloading an 8.4 gig file is a non-starter. And furthermore, the simulator requires a PC or a Mac with at least 8 gigs of RAM. Many of these potential village engineers are mobile-first users. They might have a smartphone, but they probably don't have a gaming PC. By locking the core pedagogical value, that 3D simulation, behind these hardware specs, DARE Reticular is effectively locking out the very people they claim to be saving. This isn't democratization, it's digital gentrification.
That is a valid logistical challenge, I'll grant you. Though the source material does mention a light 2D version and the potential for physical USB deployment kits to bypass the download. But I would argue that the high requirements are also a filter for quality. We are talking about operating a plasma gasifier, not a toaster. The digital footprint ensures that the person at the controls actually has access to the necessary computing power to manage the node. If they can't run the sim, they probably can't run the node's digital twin on the network either.
Or it just ensures that only the wealthy can apply. But let's move on to the structure of the course itself. I want to talk about the safety gate.
This is where the SPT really differentiates itself from standard educational products. Module 2 is what they call a hard gate. You cannot access modules 3 through 6, the fun stuff like feedstock management or the cockpit, until you score 100% on safety and compliance. Not 90, not 95, 100%.
I understand the logic, of course, but I also see the financial engineering lurking just behind it.
Well, the logic is paramount. We're dealing with high voltage and arc flash risks. The remnant persona is very clear about this. I do not tolerate arc flashes. By forcing a 100% score, they ensure that no student even attempts a virtual startup without understanding the thermal limits. But the genius here, and this really addresses your economic concerns, is the insurance arbitrage.
That sounds like a marketing buzzword.
It's real economics. The certification includes a discount code, SPT, NSDISC, that gives you a 10% reduction in liability insurance for commercial operators. So let's just do the napkin math. For a Tier 1 industrial customer, the course costs, what, $11.99? A commercial liability policy for a small power plant can run tens of thousands a year. Let's call it $20,000. That 10% discount saves you $2,000 immediately. You've paid $1,200 for the course and saved $2,000 on insurance. The training is effectively free. Actually, it's better than free, it's profitable.
It turns the education from an expense into a risk management asset.
That is a clever sales pitch, I admit. If you're a corporate buyer, the math works out. But let's look at the recurrent revenue tail. That safety certificate expires every 2 years, and to renew it, you have to pay $299. The SWOT analysis in the documents explicitly lists this as a strength for DirectAlert, a built-in renewal market. So when you combine that with the fact that this digital product has a 96% margin, the cost of goods sold is only $46.50, it starts to look less like a safety culture and more like a subscription model for high-margin revenue.
High margins are necessary to fund the R&D for the hardware, though. And frankly, in industrial environments, safety certifications should expire. Skills rot. If you haven't reviewed lockout-tagout protocols in 2 years, you are a danger to yourself and the grid. The renewal ensures competency is maintained. I mean, you wouldn't want a pilot flying your plane who hasn't renewed their license in a decade.
Competency on paper, maybe. But the human factor always remains. The SWOT analysis even admits this is a threat. A digital badge, no matter how expensive or verified, it's software. It cannot physically stop an operator in the real world from bypassing a safety protocol. If a certified SPT operator causes an explosion because they were tired or careless, the safety gate didn't stop them. It just gave the Academy a legal waiver. The liability still sits in the physical world while the Academy collects the renewal fees.
That's true of any certification, from driving a car to flying a plane. You can't program human behavior perfectly. But the SPT adds another layer of trust through the Rios blockchain.
Ah, I was waiting for the blockchain pivot.
It's not a pivot, it's infrastructure. This isn't just a PDF you can Photoshop. These credentials are minted as NFT DID badges, decentralized identifiers.
Why does a mechanic in Uganda need an NFT?
Because of DPIN, Decentralized Physical Infrastructure Networks. Let's break that down. If you're an investor in London and you're funding a power generation node in Uganda, you need trust. You aren't there. You can't see the operator. You need to know that the person running that million-dollar machine is legitimate and qualified. The blockchain verification prevents fraud and, you know, deepfakes. It proves that the node operator is qualified without needing some middleman to verify it.
But doesn't that just add another layer of technical exclusion? So now the village engineer needs a crypto wallet just to prove they can fix a generator?
It integrates with the hardware, and the pricing model supports this whole ecosystem. Tier 1 pays the full $11.99. Tier 2, the village engineer, gets an 87% subsidy, which brings it down to $149. And Tier 3, the owner-operator, gets it for free with the hardware purchase.
The tiered pricing is inclusive, I'll grant you that. $149 is accessible for an NGO or a cooperative. But I want to go back to the long-term viability. You mentioned the solar singularity earlier, and I don't think we can just brush that aside. The syllabus teaches feedstock alchemy, blending plastic, wood, and tires to get the right caloric value. That is complex. It's difficult. It's messy.
It's also cleaning up the planet.
It is. But economics are ruthless. If solar and battery costs continue to plummet, the complexity of plasma gasification becomes a liability. I mean, why would a community maintain a molecular scissor, plasma torch, dealing with 1500-degree temperatures and vitrified slag if they can just install solid-state batteries? The SPT teaches you to operate a machine that might be economically obsolete in 10 years. You're training people for the Betamax of energy.
You're assuming that solar can solve the baseload problem and the waste problem at the same time. It can't. We are drowning in waste, anthropogenic waste, like plastics and tires. The SPT isn't just about energy, it's about waste to value. So even if solar is cheaper for pure electron generation, it doesn't get rid of the landfill. The AgroPower Corps does. The sovereign power technician is learning to convert a liability into an asset. That value proposition endures even if solar gets cheaper. We will always have trash.
That is the strongest argument for it, the waste management angle. But there's another risk, automation. The remnant AI is already diagnosing parts. The source material lists hardware obsolescence as a threat. So what happens if the Agra Power Core becomes fully autonomous, self-healing, self-regulating? Then the human level one operator becomes redundant.
You're training people for a job that the AI might take over completely in the next hardware iteration.
Remnant specifically addresses this. The report states that AI will replace coders before it replaces the mechanic who fixes the power plant. Robots cannot yet easily turn a wrench in a muddy field in some remote location. The physical world resists automation much more than the digital world does. The SPT is betting on the fact that we will need keepers of the flame, humans who understand the physics, for a long, long time. It's just easier for AI to write code than to unclog a feed hopper.
Keepers of the flame is a romantic notion, but we have to be realistic about the hardware drag. This entire certification is tethered to the success of Ajidat Energy. If that company fails or if their supply chain breaks, the certification is worthless. A master electrician is a master electrician anywhere. An SPT is only an SPT as long as there's an Ajidat power core to operate.
But that's the nature of specialized industrial technology. You could say the same thing for a certified Cisco network engineer or a Salesforce administrator. Specialization commands a premium. The SPT is positioning itself as the standard for this post-grid era. They are building civilization in a box. If that box works, the people who know how to operate it will be the most valuable tradespeople in their regions. They're the bridge between a pile of tires and the lights turning on.
Or they'll be technicians for a ghost machine. It all depends on the adoption of the hardware.
And I think we've drilled down to the core of the disagreement. For me, the sovereign power technician represents a necessary step toward energy sovereignty. It empowers humans to take control of their own infrastructure, converting local waste into continuous power independent of centralized failures or the weather. It truly bridges the gap between the physical reality of diesel and the digital ambition of data.
And for me, while the technology is undeniably impressive, the delivery method leaves too many people behind. The heavy digital footprint, the high hardware specs for the simulator, and the absolute dependency on a single proprietary machine, it all creates a fragility that contradicts the goal of independence. It risks being a high-tech solution for the elite rather than the universal tool for the village engineer it claims to be.
Both are valid perspectives. The intersection of diesel and data is clearly the next frontier. Whether the SBT in its current form becomes the universal standard or remains a niche product for early adopters, that remains to be seen. But one thing is certain, as the digital world expands, the demand for physical power and the people who can manage it is only going to grow.
On that, we can agree. The grid is changing, and the workforce has to change with it. The question is just how high that barrier to entry should be.
Thank you for listening to The Debate. We'll leave you to decide if you are ready to be a keeper of the flame. Join us next time.